Greetings, I'm Bill Clyde, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Lydia Watts, who's Executive Director of Rebuild, Overcome, and Rise Center, University of Maryland, Baltimore School of Law. And Lydia's here today to talk to us about various helps that is available for victims of crime, which unfortunately is something that will unfortunately never go away. So Lydia, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it being here.
Well, let me say that I am, first of all, that I'm honored to have somebody of your background and trying to do what you folks are doing, because it's a great need and it has to be done. First of all, for those of our listeners who are unfamiliar, could you tell us about the Rohr Center?
Absolutely. We're actually a brand new initiative of the law school. I started on January 7th of this year, so we're a very new center. We have 8 staff, so there's myself, 3 other lawyers, a paralegal, 2 social workers, and a part-time RN. And the design of the Rohr Center is really to provide wraparound services for victims of crime here in Baltimore City. Mm-hmm. This came out of, obviously, unfortunately, very high need for our services. Yeah. There is, as we all know, very high levels of crime here in Baltimore City. We also know there's a lot of distrust of traditional law enforcement. And so that many, many people, particularly those most vulnerable to crime, and I'm happy to talk about a little bit about those communities, but a lot of those folks are very hesitant to call the police. So they're not getting even what we would think of as kind of a traditional response in terms of, you know, certainly an investigation by the police, perhaps an arrest of the person who caused the harm, but some kind of other levels of protection. And maybe even in extreme circumstances, emergency housing or, witness relocation, those types of things.
Right.
So that folks that have been impacted by the crime can be rest assured that there won't be additional crime. There won't be the retaliation that we hear of in the news almost on a daily basis. And so because of that, because we know that there's such a distrust of law enforcement, and that candidly, law enforcement hasn't, even when there is a report to police, the response hasn't always been what we've hoped for. You know, we know the closure rate on homicides alone is very, very small here in the city. And certainly we support the efforts of the commissioner to be rectifying all of these problems. But right now, Baltimore police are really struggling to respond to crime in the way that folks really deserve and need.
That's for certain.
So we're really here to help address all of the other things that get impacted by crime. So the trauma that folks often experience in the aftermath of crime. So that's what our social workers are here for. We have a clinician on staff who does therapy, as well as in the next several months having group sessions for folks that have common experiences of experiencing crime. We also have one of the other social workers, a case manager, helping people access, you know, maybe a transfer in housing, health benefits that they may not have been aware that they're eligible for, additional things that they may be be eligible for now that they have been victimized by crime. Maybe it's they also need, you know, all of the many things: childcare, work readiness, substance abuse treatment. Maybe they need more extensive mental health counseling. All of those things that we know people, particularly those who are most vulnerable, often have many, many needs, and that the crime can often exacerbate those needs.
Right.
And then we have the RN on staff really to help people, because we know that health gets impacted by crime, and again that these vulnerable populations often suffer health disparities as well. So maybe it's chronic health conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, obesity, or maybe it's something that's been brought on by the crime. We hear a lot about dental issues associated with assaults, that when people have been assaulted, that their teeth have been impacted. Maybe they lost a tooth as a result of the impact, or there's been some other kind of dental issue. Obviously, if there's been some kind of acute injury like a shooting or a stabbing, people have ongoing health needs associated with that injury. So RN is there to help people connect with care. We are not a direct medical provider. She's what's called a community health nurse. So she helps people connect with all of the various care providers in the city. And as I referred to, she has the magic wand that none of us have. You know, when we call a provider and say we need an appointment, they say, well, there's one in 3 months. She can get one tomorrow. I never know how medical professionals do that, but yeah, she has that magic
wand.
That's
wonderful.
She will also escort people to those appointments.
Uh-huh.
And this is particularly true for people experiencing homelessness or chronic mental health issues or substance abuse issues. Oftentimes, they've fallen out of care. They haven't been to a provider they may have had in the past. And particularly if they have chronic health conditions, obviously experiencing those additional issues on top of that health condition, you know, really makes, you know, high blood pressure skyrocket, makes you know, maybe they're not getting their insulin on a daily basis, those kinds of things. So she can really help people get back into care and manage their care. And then there's our lawyers. Our lawyers are really there to address what I affectionately refer to as the stuff that gets impacted by crime. So again, housing, employment, education, again, public benefits, maybe family law, need for protection or peace orders, all of those things that fall under the civil legal arena are what our attorneys are there to assist with. So I'll kind of illustrate this with a hypothetical. So if there's a young man who's been murdered on our streets, which again, we hear at astounding rates. Mom is now traumatized, obviously, by the loss of her son. And she's now calling out sick to work or unable to really perform at work. So now she's at risk of losing her job or maybe already has lost her job. We can help negotiate with the employer to try to get some kind of accommodations and perhaps some if her employer provides these kind of benefits, mental health counseling, other kinds of things through, you know, if they have an employee assistance program or something equivalent, if it's a smaller employer, you know, getting leave under Federal Family Medical Leave Act or other kinds of legal recourse that often people aren't aware of. And employers aren't even necessarily aware of that they need to follow those legal, those legal protections.
Especially if they're small.
Particularly if they're small employers. Yeah. So mom now needs help with negotiating with her employer. Then maybe she has other children at home who are now not able to attend school. They're fearful of leaving the home. They're also suffering trauma from the loss of their older sibling. And they're now truant. Maybe mom's being brought up on truancy charges or the kids are being threatened to be held back or are failing out of school. We can help negotiate with the school to get the kids back on track, get them the kind of assistance that they need, whether it's a kind of a EAP or individualized plan with the school, or if it's a simple, we just, you know, tutor or you know, depending on the child's needs, negotiating with special ed, other types of mechanisms to make sure that the younger siblings aren't impacted.
Boy, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. How can someone find out more information?
Well, our website is still in development. So really the best way to get in touch with us is to call us directly. And I, of course, am now forgetting our direct line. Do you have it there in front of us?
410.
Thank you.
706-2781. That's 410-706-2781.
Thank you. So I need to memorize that number. And so Monica is our paralegal. She'll be the person that will answer that phone call. At the moment, she usually answers the phone first ring. You will get Monica on the line as long as it's Monday through Friday, 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
If you do get her answering machine, she will call you back as soon as possible. And then our defined intake hours where she's guaranteed to call you back is Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 a.m. till noon. So you can also call during those times and you'll get Monica directly on the phone, assuming she's not talking to somebody else. So what Monica does is that she'll talk to that person who's experienced crime, get basic information, name, address, some demographic information. We don't have income restrictions, so we don't, you don't have to be making below a certain level to get our services. We help people.
What's the cost?
It's absolutely free.
Absolutely free. Let's underline
nothing
that.
Nothing to us. Yes, absolutely free services. Of course, if we're connecting you to medical care, we don't provide that direct medical care. So we do help. If you are underinsured or not uninsured, we'll get you enrolled in whatever health insurance plan you're eligible for. But we don't provide that direct medical care. But all of our services of the community health nurse, getting you connected to care, helping you navigate your needs, the social workers, the lawyers, all absolutely free. We are funded by the governor's office, the governor's office of crime control and prevention. We have what's called a VOCA grant, which is the Victims of Crime Act grant from the governor's office. So that pays for all of our staff.
Wonderful. And where are you located?
We're located at 520 West Fayette Street. So right across the street from the Cary Law School, right in the campus of the University of Maryland, Baltimore. Mm-hmm. It's actually a University of Maryland, Baltimore building. And we're on the third floor. We don't currently accommodate walk-ins, so you would have to call first to let us know that you're coming. But we try to get back to people within one business day, two in the absolute outside. So we are very, very responsive.
Great. I mentioned your background.
Yes.
What is your background? And I guess as executive director, your job is to make everything work.
Absolutely. Yeah. So my background, I'm an attorney by training. I have been working with survivors of crime for my entire career. I actually went to law school because of work I had done, actually stemming back to when I was in high school with survivors of crime. Mm-hmm. My early career was primarily focused on survivors of domestic violence or intimate partner violence and sexual violence. And my exposure, how I got into this this world, if you will, is that a good friend of mine when I was in high school was abused, sexually abused by her father for her, really from the time, her earliest years. He actually kidnapped her from her mother. This was back in the 70s when there was very difficult to enforce child custody orders from one state and another state. And that all came out into the public when I was a senior in high school. And so that was my introduction to issues of family violence. And in that case, rape, incest. Her father was criminally prosecuted three times, actually, but ultimately was not convicted. He was never acquitted, but he was never convicted. And that was the reason I went to law school, was because of that, watching her go through that process as a survivor of that crime and watching how the criminal justice system not only is a very slow moving animal, but oftentimes doesn't deliver what we think of as justice. I've learned that justice is a very amorphous word and defined differently by different people. But it really felt like a very hard won fight that didn't result in a victory, certainly from my friend's perspective. Yeah. So for that reason, I went to law school. I went to American University in Washington, D.C., and in my third year of law school, started an organization that's since closed, but was open until early 2012. It was called Women Empowered Against Violence. WEAVE was the acronym, and we provided services similar to the Rohr Center, but specifically for survivors of domestic violence. I also have been up in Boston. I grew up in Massachusetts, so I returned home for a few years. I was an executive director at the Victim Rights Law Center in Boston, and then been in a number of different places back in D.C. But I moved to Baltimore in March of 2018, and when this opportunity arose, I thought in my new city, which I have grown to love and adore, being able to use my past experience and expertise for the residents of Baltimore City was an opportunity I couldn't turn down. So I was very excited when I saw this.
Well, Baltimore is lucky to have you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
And could you give us some success stories, if I can put it like that?
Absolutely.
A typical client.
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, we have had a number of clients that fall into, I'll make it a hypothetical, but these, because it describes a number of clients and to keep client confidentiality, I won't talk specifically about an individual. But we've had a number of people who've contacted us where they have called the police and the police have candidly refused to make a police report. Mm. In both instances, it was an assault where they were physically assaulted by another person. And the police effectively said, you need to go and press charges yourself with the commissioner's office and didn't take any report of any kind. And so that really left both of these two individuals that I'm thinking of in a very difficult situation where they had no quote unquote proof that this incident had happened. So we were able to not only accompany these individuals to the commissioner's office and help them swear out the complaint and bring charges, but then also to meet with them because the next step is it goes to the state's attorney's office. Unfortunately, the vast majority of the cases that come through the commissioner's office gets dismissed by the state's attorney's office. With our accompaniment, we were able to really advocate for why these charges should not be dismissed And so we were able to get those charges moved forward. We also were able to get them peace orders in those instances and to help with housing and other related issues that had been impacted by the crime.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much. Unfortunately, we're out of time.
That went by fast.
Yes, it does go by fast, especially when you're talking about important things. But unfortunately, that is all the time we have. For Living in Baltimore, I want to thank our guest, Lydia Watts, who's executive director of the Rebuild, Overcome, and Rise Roar Center at the University of Maryland Baltimore School of Law, for being our guest today. Thank you, Lydia.
Thank you, Bill.
Keep up your good work for all of us.
Thank you.
And for Living in Baltimore, I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.